You're listening to Atheistically Speaking.
Hello and welcome to Atheistically Speaking. This is episode 247. I'm your host, Thomas Smith. All right, here we are with part two with Anya Bulla, and this is where things perhaps get a little more contentious. I'll see you afterward. I'm very curious to see what you think, but let's get to it. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of the tagline of your book was about this, you know, alternative medicine and all that. A lot of stuff we haven't gotten to yet. I think we're a little low on time, but I was wondering if you could maybe speak to that a little bit.
Absolutely. So whenever you're sick and in a more permanent way, there's this need by a lot of people to sort of fix you.
Yeah.
Because they think that there's if you're still sick, that means that you're not doing enough. It's your fault that you're still sick, because if you just did enough, you'd get better. And there's this need for a lot of people to start pushing their specific agendas on you as a cure for your condition. So I can't tell you, for example, the number of times that I've had somebody who is vegan come up to me and be like, "What's Crohn's disease?" And then after I explain it, says, "Oh, well, you know, going vegan would totally cure it." You know, and I have nothing against people who want to be vegans. I think, you know, if that's a choice that works for you, that's fantastic. But for me particularly, I can't digest any forms of iron other than red meat.
Oh, wow.
So if I were to go vegan, I would get sicker and possibly.
Yeah, it's totally. I totally think that people can relate to this, especially anyone here in California, because California, I think, is the capital of this kind of bullshit, where people. It's not enough that people have their little diets, which is fine. It's that their diet cures everything.
Yeah.
Diet cures cancer. If you quit meat, you'll be able to dunk and you'll be 5 feet taller. It's like, okay.
Yeah. And you see this a lot with things like kale, which is actually really because leafy greens in particular are super dangerous for people with Crohn's. One of the reasons why they're so beneficial is because they don't digest properly. They create something called roughage, which is basically they go down through your intestines and they grate sides slightly. And as they do that, it encourages motility of the intestines and also encourages mucus production and things that basically make digestion easier. But in the case of people with Crohn's disease, that kind of roughage can actually cause us to tear and bleed.
Oh.
So, and many of us frequently do tear and bleed. And so it causes us pain and things like that. So for me, if I want to cheat on my diet, I don't, you know, reach for something unhealthy. I reach for a salad. That's me cheating on my diet. That's me being super unhealthy.
Huh.
In the choice between, say, white bread or whole grain, it's healthier for me to choose the white bread because the whole grain is too coarse.
That's so fascinating. Yeah, well, it just goes to show that it's fine to have, you know, your fad diet or even your good diet, but when someone has an actual condition, it doesn't apply, you know, or may not apply. You know, people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure you've had a lot of experience of people just telling you what's going to be the best thing for you. It's like, well, actually,
there's people, you know, who recommend things that other people, you know, treat as actual medicine, like acupuncture. And I can actually say I've had acupuncture. When I had my leg issue, one of the things that I tried when nothing was working, including actually the chemo maybe took the slight edge off the pain, but it wasn't enough to shut down my inflammation enough, which is pretty intense. But I was going to acupuncture in the hopes that it would release some of the tension and that would maybe reduce some of the inflammation. And if there's any kind of effect, it lasts about half an hour and then it goes away.
Yeah, you know? Well, I think
part of the reason why acupuncture still gets passed around as something that seems reasonable is because, have you ever had that thing where you get something and it really, really hurts, and for whatever reason your head says that what would help would be jamming something into it?
It's possibly, yeah. I don't know. I definitely don't have as many conditions as you, so maybe this doesn't come up as much.
And I mean, I don't know if there have been some suggestions that I am probably autistic. And there's a sort of association between pain and self-harm in autism. So maybe it's specifically an autism thing.
Huh.
But there have definitely been times where, like, my hip will hurt so badly. And for whatever reason, I feel like if I jammed a needle in there, it would relieve the pressure somehow.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, it's not your chakras or whatever. I mean, it's the funny thing is, like, there's these studies that show some minor thing that's probably just placebo. It's people who are pro acupuncture will be in favor of it, but it's like, wait, but that disproves what you're saying. Just because there's a tiny effect that's placebo doesn't mean that your chakras are, well, I don't know what the hell, I can't remember what the, but there's a whole ideology behind why it works. And there's,
The acupuncturist that I was seeing was one who was connected to sort of like one of these people who does both types of medicine kind of thing.
Mm.
So there was less of that chakra thing and more about what's funny too is he added electrodes to it too. So I said image of myself, hooked up like Frankenstein with, being like zzz, with the needles in my back. It wasn't exactly like that, but I never got to see it because it was in my back. So in my head, it's always, those battery jumpers connected to needles in my back. But, what people don't realize is acupuncture can actually be extremely dangerous. There was an Olympic athlete who basically had her career ruined because she went in for acupuncture and it caused her lung to collapse.
Oh, man. I think the cleanliness of the needles can be an issue sometimes, too.
It depends on where you're going, but it is potentially an issue.
The bottom line is just like, it may be fine, but there's it's like no reward for some non-zero risk that...
Yeah.
You're going to have some injury.
With all of these things, what people don't realize is placebo effect is an extremely powerful force. It's so intense that when they do studies, they actually have to account for placebo effect to figure out whether a med actually works. So they do double blind studies where neither the doctor nor the patient knows whether they're taking the actual med or whether they're taking the placebo. And the reason for this is because they found that doctors can give away the answer a little bit by treating patients a little bit differently if they know, but also patients who know, if they know they're getting the placebo, it's not going to work as well than if they don't know they're getting the placebo.
Right. Yeah. Although, of course.
What's actually really, although we'll get back to that in a second. But placebo effect can happen in sometimes as often as 50% of cases. So what you need to show is that when you're giving the med, that it works more often than what would be accounted for simply by placebo effect. So placebo effect is actually a major first. And what's really more interesting is even if you're aware of placebo effect and aware that something could be placebo effect, you could still be experiencing placebo effect.
Yeah.
So it doesn't actually stop you from experiencing it, even being aware of it.
Right.
So
let me ask you something. How do you deal with this in your personal life? Because I have a hard time. I'm a little conflicted. I don't project my atheism in my personal life at all. I mean, if someone asks me, I'll tend to answer, but I really, in my work life and my other interactions, I rarely talk about it. People don't really know. But one thing I have a trouble with is when people recommend this horseshit to me for, oh, you've got a headache. Here's some bullshit that's not going to work. That's when I have the hardest time because what I find so odd is right away, I'm the bad guy. If someone recommends something to me that's some bullshit pill or here's some herbal whatever that's, and all I do is say, oh, okay. And then I Google it and the result says like, this is total crap. It's not going to do anything. Right away, I'm the bad guy. And I think it's so funny that our society, or at least the one I'm in, works that way. Like if I look something up, I'm already an asshole for saying like, hey, so I looked that up and it doesn't work. Sorry. I don't even, and there's been one time where I looked something up that someone recommended for me and it wasn't like super dangerous or anything, but it did have like a negative effect. And I wanted to tell the person like, hey, this thing you recommended, it's not really good for you, but I already feel bad for doing that,
And I mean, when you're someone with a disability, you almost deal with that even worse because it's not just that you're bad for looking it up and for ruining their beliefs, but you're also bad because you clearly don't want to get better.
Right, right.
Or too negative. And then you get all the, you have to be positive bullshit.
Right.
I have the kind of personality type where I like lecturing. It's a little bit, you might have noticed in this conversation, it's really easy to get me off topic by actually starting to explain to people how things work. So usually when somebody recommends something to me that I've already tried or that I'm more aware of, I will actually explain to them, I've already tried this, but also you should be aware of that. And then I start, you know, giving them the information.
Well, and yeah, I mean, that is the way you should be. And that's the way we should all be. I just think it's so, I'm sure you've dealt with hurt feelings. I'm sure you've dealt with, you know, like
threats. I've dealt with people telling me that I was a bad person, telling me that I was
dispelling their myths.
Yeah. Well, it cured my mother's cancer. And the thing is I'm never telling people not to use it.
Right.
Like, this is something that I differ with from other skeptics, is that other skeptics, if they meet somebody who uses something and it works for them, are inclined to tell them you're wrong for using it. My issue is, if it helps them, I've been there. I've been in disability. If it helps them, I don't care if it's placebo. Good for you. Use it. Just don't recommend it to anyone else.
Yeah, well, I mean, but sometimes there are risks for these things. Like, I would not recommend chiropractic because there is a risk that, you know, you're going to get your neck messed up in it, or especially for a young kid or something.
Yeah,
where it's,
well,
like,
I mean,
yeah,
the case of where it's children. I mean, children rarely choose this, so it's a different situation because it's being imposed by someone else. So at that point, you know, telling them, hey, this isn't actually helping your kid, that's different. But what I mean is more specifically, like, if somebody comes to me and says, look, this herbal treatment seriously helped me not have pain anymore, then even if I know that it's complete bullshit and that it's a placebo effect, my thought is I don't necessarily want that person who has found something that works for them. Great. That's good for you. But I also spend a lot of time telling people not to recommend things to other people. Unless you're specifically their doctor and you know their condition, or you experience the condition yourself, you shouldn't be recommending something to somebody else. And even if you have the condition yourself, you know, there's different things. Like, two people with Crohn's disease can have completely different diet restrictions. I know people with Crohn's disease who can't touch tomatoes, but I'm fine with them. I know people who are fine with apples, but sometimes apples can set me off, you know? So it's not even consistent within the disability itself or within the condition itself. So the best thing you can often do is to just keep it to yourself. Like, unless you're specifically asked for recommendations, don't offer them.
Yeah, amen to that. I mean, I think that I doubt that the people listening are the kind who do that. I wish we could get that message to the wider society, you know, like, just,
you would be surprised because sometimes, well, okay, with the kind of people who would listen to your show, it won't necessarily be something like herbal treatments, but it will be specific medical things. So they'll be like, oh, well, have you heard about this new Crohn's vaccine that's going around? And then the problem that I'm faced with there is having to explain to them why it's not actually as helpful as people think it is, or why the article that they read it in was actually based on really bad science.
Hmm.
So I spent a lot of time, and I mean, I have a benefit that I have enough of a scientific medical background that I can actually, I don't want to make it sound condescending by saying understand a lot of these studies, but I have more insight to some of these studies.
Well, sure. It'll help to be scientifically literate, of course.
It also helps that I also have a background in psychology and a background in English. I spent a lot of time in university.
Yeah. Well, no, that's interesting. I just think it's so funny how people get so attached to their remedy or their thing. I mean, it might be a different story if someone asks you, like, hey, have you heard about the, you know, hey, I know you have Crohn's. I just read something. Does this apply to you?
And that's what I've encouraged people to move away from the, I know something that will help you,
right.
Is it okay for me to offer advice? And this is actually something that a lot of people who talk about boundaries and talk about those kinds of things, I mean, and talk about consent, this is a big one. When you're offering somebody advice, it can be taken badly sometimes. Sometimes offering somebody advice can actually be showing a sign that you don't think that they're handling something correctly. So it's always better to ask if it's appropriate and if it's okay. So, instead of saying, hey, I know exactly what will help you, or I read a study that will help you, it's better to say, hey, so I know this thing. Is it okay to offer advice? Is it okay to pass it your way? Is it okay to talk to you about it? You know? And by asking those simple questions, that gives me the power to say, you know what, I really don't have the energy to deal with another recommendation today. Or, you know, I can say, yeah, absolutely, send it my way. And I can also decide whether or not I want to hear it from somebody based on how they've reacted to things in the past. So somebody, for example, who's gotten angry at me because their thing didn't work, I'm not going to want to hear any other recommendations from them.
Wow. Yeah, definitely must be even way bigger a problem for someone like you who has conditions that, you know, people's cures definitely won't apply to. And I'm sure you can't count the number of times people have recommended stuff to you, huh?
Daily at wow. some. Yeah.
Because here I was complaining about just a couple times a month, I'll have like a headache or something.
Yeah. Well, with people with disabilities, it can sometimes be a daily thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sometimes think that the reason a lot of us end up over time becoming antisocial is just because we want like one day where we're not going to face.
Yeah, it's a good point. Jeez. Yeah, it's definitely something to consider for someone like me who doesn't have that problem. You know, I never would have thought of that.
Yeah.
But I mean, at least it's people trying to help, but I'm sure it gets annoying after a while.
Well, and I mean, it's people trying to help, but sometimes the way people try to help, the implication isn't so much I'm trying to help. It's I'm trying to help because I don't think you're doing enough.
Sure.
And this is also one of the things that you get a lot sort of from religions where a lot of times, well, you'd get better if only you had faith. Oh, okay. So I'm disabled. And this is one actually, even when I was still kind of religious, I was receiving. And it was just kind of like, oh, okay. So it's my fault that I'm disabled because I didn't believe enough.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Well, there's I mean, that's one of the frustrating things about religion is there's no logic to that that actually makes sense. Like, you can't explain why God decided to make you, you know, have all these ailments. Like, oh, okay. So before you were even old enough to make a, consenting, like an actual decision on it, God had already inflicted you with this stuff.
Yep. And it gets even worse sometimes because a lot of people... There's something in this world called the just world fallacy, where we have a tendency to believe that people who had something bad happen to them did something to earn it. This is one of the things that victim blaming comes in for, that, well, that girl was raped instead of me, therefore she must have done something wrong in order to earn it, whereas in reality, it's just bad place, bad time. You know?
I just read something about this. Yeah, you're totally right. And I think there was a study, maybe you saw it. The study was something like if you just showed random pictures of people that you wouldn't even know. I think it was that if they said something bad happened to this particular person, people just all of a sudden had bad opinions of them. Like, yeah. Even though it was totally not their fault. It's interesting
and
that we do that.
And the same thing sort of happens with disability is that we tend to think that somebody that I have to be sick for a reason. I must have done something to have this thing happen to me instead of having it happen to somebody else. And when you approach something like that from a religious mindset, then the things you must have done are either be a bad person in this or a former life, have done something to displease God, or are being punished for something. And that's not a very useful approach to have when you're dealing with a condition. You already feel like a burden. You already feel bad. So having someone also come up to you and say, well, it's also your fault because you were a bad person, that's not really all that helpful. And it can be extremely damaging. And it can actually lead to thoughts to higher levels of depression because you think that you're to blame for your disability.
Absolutely. I think that religious people almost have to be that way because if you believe in God, I mean, you have to believe like, well, God has good reasons, so you must have done something wrong. You must have been a sinner somehow or, you know, and it's funny because I think it's pretty horrible because even if they don't say anything, I think most religious people have to kind of think that in the back of their mind in order for the whole picture to make sense. You know, I definitely have talked to my share of believers who, after you talk to them about something, it's like, well, poor people, you know, they deserve to be poor. They did something for it.
They're not working hard enough. They're not lifting themselves up by their bootstraps and that kind of thing. And especially when you're somebody who's living on disability, you can face that a lot too, because there's the assumption of if you're on disability, it must be because you're a loser. And as somebody who, you know, grew up having extremely high grades, you know, succeeding at singing, succeeding at a lot of these things, suddenly ending up on disability was a really hard hit for me because it felt like I had somehow wasted my potential. And it's not that I'd wasted my potential, it's that I got sick, you know? I can have all the potential in the world, but if I can't get out of bed because I haven't been able to eat in 3 weeks, you know,
yeah,
that's not going to change anything.
I can't. People like me who don't have that can only imagine, you know?
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
I do want to make a point that for all that a lot of the religious just world fallacy ends up having sort of a supernatural cause and whatnot. It's not just the religious.
Oh, who do absolutely. Absolutely. That, right? Yeah.
I've had sort of the same kind of idea. And I mean, a lot of it, part of it comes from the fact that we have a society that props up ableism. We very much create a social attitude that there's an internal flaw, that there is something flawed about somebody who's disabled, something other than potentially the fact that they can't, that they experience pain. And a lot of people don't even, who have disabilities, don't see their disabilities as a flaw. You know, somebody who's blind might not necessarily have a problem with the fact that they're blind. They have a problem with the fact that the society isn't set up to be accessible to them. And this is what we call sort of the social model of disability, where it's not so much our conditions that disable us, it's society that does.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of truth to it. There's a lot of things that would be a lot easier for me as a person if society was more open to disability. One example is I often have to use mobility devices when I go to stores. Part of the reason is because I get pain from standing too long. But another reason is just because my Crohn's means that I have very, very limited energy. And if I can conserve some of it by, say, using the scooter at the grocery store, then that helps me be able to do more with my day. It means that I can maybe come home and do something I enjoy rather than just spending my entire day on errands and never being able to do anything else. But when people see me using the scooter, there's a lot of shame because I'm considered too young. Or the assumption is that I'm using it because I'm too fat. Or the assumption is that if I'm using the scooter, I better be so disabled that I can't stand up in order to pick something up off a high shelf. But none of those things are true. I'm not using it because I'm overweight. I'm not too young to use it because I have conditions. And just because I'm using it doesn't mean I'm not physically able to stand ever or walk ever. It just means that it helps. But because we have this ableist attitude towards only the people who can use assistive devices or people who have the most extreme version of this disability, it makes it difficult for people like me to get the accessibility that they need.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely think that's something that everybody needs to keep an eye on. Just being charitable toward people for sure.
Yeah, but and I mean it's even reflected in our language. One example, you've used the term crazy as a descriptor for a lot of different things, and I mean that's something that a lot of people in our society do. Like that was a crazy movie, that was a crazy experience, but it actually adds to a cultural stigma of people who have mental health problems because there's this fear of being labeled as crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure I can get behind you on that one. So you think I need to stop using the word crazy because people inappropriately are going to think I'm talking about them or what?
No, it's more specifically, it's while you might be using the word without necessarily thinking that you're using it because of this, it adds to a cultural stigma. It adds to a culture of stigma that equates words like crazy with bad. Crazy equals bad. Lame equals bad. Well, lame literally means having a mobility disability. But you've now just equated that word with meaning is bad. Therefore, me being lame, it means that I'm bad. And people are inclined to treat me that way. Same with something like the word dumb. The word dumb literally means unable to speak. It's another word for mute. And yet we now use that word to mean unintelligent, which has had an effect on people who are nonverbal, who are frequently treated as if they have no intelligence.
At what point do we run out of words to use? when something is bad, can I use that word? Okay, when something is bad, how do I say, do I just have to say bad every time?
A lot of times it's about being more specific. A lot of times when people say use the word stupid, what they actually mean is willfully ignorant. A lot of times when people mean crazy, they mean it was shocking or ridiculous or frustrating. There's other words that you can use basically that don't have that same implication. It's about basically seeing how the words we use affect the society and how it adds to social perceptions. And looking basically at where the use of that word came from. It's the same way, for example, that people use the word gay to mean bad for certain things, you know, like, oh, that's so gay. Well, okay, but then you're creating a perception that being gay is bad. Therefore, calling somebody gay is bad. And therefore, if somebody is gay, they're bad.
Well, sure. I mean, it really comes down to common usage, though, right? I mean, you know that when someone says, whoa, that was crazy, they're using the word in a certain way. There's no other meaning of gay that makes any sense besides a bigoted use when you say like, oh, that's gay in a negative way. Like There's no culturally understood way of, there's no second dictionary meaning for gay. Like, you wouldn't even find it in there. That's just because people are being bigoted toward gay people.
You find it in there as gay means homosexual, and gay also means something that's unappealing or bad or uncool.
So I don't do that. Really? That's in the dictionary as a second use for gay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, in terms of the urban dictionary, the social dictionary.
Oh, well.
It's the same, and it's the same, and I don't mean urban dictionary as urbandictionary.com. I mean,
like, okay.
If you're going to someone and you say, oh, that's so gay, you know, are you saying that's so homosexual, or are you saying is that so bad?
No, but there's only one option. When you use it that way, they're not referring to something actually homosexual, so they are definitely being bigoted and using the word in a negative way.
But then if I go and say he's gay, am I saying he's bad, or am I saying he's homosexual?
I don't...
Because when you then apply it to a person, you can't actually tell which definition I'm using.
No, I'm agreeing that that's a...
If I go, and it's the same way. If I call you, say, if I say, oh, that movie is so crazy, I could mean it as, you know, it's mentally... it's cognitively disabled, it has a mental illness, or I could mean it's not that great. But then if I say I had a crazy ex-girlfriend, do I mean she had a mental illness, or do I mean some kind of social pejorative? The question is if you apply that word to a person, what are the other implications that it can have? And if you create a pejorative meaning around a certain word, you're creating the possibility that somebody who has that label is also experiencing the pejorative side of that label.
Okay. I don't know that I think I agree with all that. So I don't know. I'm not sure what the disagreement. I'm just saying there's more of a when you're saying someone's gay, when you're saying something is gay in a negative way, that usage is only bigoted. It is all I'm saying. Whereas when you say, whoa, that was crazy, we understand in society that there is a different meaning of that word that doesn't, it's not meant to insult anyone. Saying something is gay is only meant to insult someone. Like there's no. That's all I mean. Like, it's just because of the common usage. It's just because of the culturally understood meaning of it.
But here's the thing. Something becomes more common usage because it started out as a pejorative for something. The problem with something becoming a more common usage, like the word crazy, it creates that way because we are so culturally convinced that it's understood that being crazy is bad that we don't even need to think about that association anymore. My crazy ex-girlfriend, my crazy boss, my... you know, that shooter was crazy. But then there's people who are literally crazy, who have mental illnesses. I have a mental illness. I have ADHD. I'm probably autistic. I have depression and anxiety relating to my disabilities. I'm crazy. So every time somebody
says... Why would you say you're crazy, though?
Because that's literally what the word crazy means. It means has a mental illness. That's where the word crazy comes from. That's the dictionary definition, if you will, of the word crazy. So when you're saying that, it basically take the word like crazy and replace it with cognitively disabled, and then see how you would feel saying, oh, God, my ex-girlfriend was so cognitively disabled. Does it sound kind of squicky that you're saying that as an insult? Because if it does...
I'm not going to call someone... I wouldn't call... someone crazy in that way, though. But I might call a thing crazy because a thing is a thing.
Still apply those same ideas. The same idea is that you're applying it to a thing for these reasons. But if there's people who have that label, regardless of whether you would apply it to them or not, if that label can exist for a person, then you have to be careful about the way that you use it in other social contexts, because that creates a social idea of what that label specifically means. So if you label bad things crazy, and then you call people crazy, the equation is that person is bad.
But the part that you said there that I said I wouldn't do is I don't call people crazy. I don't use the word.
A lot of people in society do.
Okay, because other people call people crazy, therefore I can't use a word in a way that's consistent for me.
Okay, but here's my question. If I've never met you before and I don't know that you would never call a person that, how am I supposed to know that when you use that word?
I don't know. Does it,
So here's the question. Is it better for you to avoid accidentally hurting someone, even if you don't mean to, more important to you than using that word or not?
I think it depends on the word. I think it really does. If it comes up with a word like gay, for example, there could be people who would make the argument that Oh, no, I didn't really mean, you know, to insult gay people. I grew up using that word. That's a case of the only conceivable meaning is an insult to gay people. With a word like, let's get off crazy. What's the other example that you brought up?
Lame.
Yeah, with a word like lame, there's no, I mean, honestly, no one uses that word to mean that. Like, the most common use of lame is, oh, man, that's totally lame. That dude's lame. Like, or that thing is lame.
I can give you many examples in which that word is still used. For example, my horse has gone lame. Is an example of where we use it to denote physical disability. You might not hear that very often because you might not spend a lot of time with people who are physically disabled. There is still a lot of people who use the term lame to specifically mean physically mobility impaired. There is another specific definition to that word, which lame literally means mobility impaired.
Right. Yeah. No, I understand. I think I might have misspoke with what I was saying there. What I meant to say is no one uses the word when they say, shit, I have to go to class. That's lame. Like no one means, like, is there no element there where we can say, okay, that person is not in his heart or her heart or in their intent meaning to insult anyone. It's just a word that means something. No, it has another meaning.
I absolutely agree that people will say that word without meaning to insult people with that disability. The problem is that the person who's standing there doesn't know that. I have no way of knowing what's in your mind when you use that word. And that word has been used to insult me before. Therefore, I am going to wince at that because now you're somebody that I don't know whether you're somebody who'd consider me a bad person for being lame.
Hmm. Well, I appreciate the debate. I really do. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to reflect on it. And thank you for that. We've gone way over time now.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I think this was really fascinating because it's something I've definitely thought about before. For me, it's really hard because it's like, and I understand, I'm not trying to complain about, you know, woe is me or anything, but it's such an ingrained habit of this is a word that has no inherent insult to anybody. Like from my perspective, there's no, and so it's like, I need to take something that I 100% don't mean to insult anyone with, which most of society recognizes as not an insult to anyone. And then I need to change that because someone might assume I'm insulting them. And I think it's a hard one for me.
But. One way of looking at it is basically looking at it like, how did that word become common parlance? One of the reasons that lame is used to mean something bad was because saying that somebody was lame was implying that there was something wrong with them. And I don't mean wrong with them just in the sense that they couldn't walk. There was something inherently bad about that person. And we do actually treat people with disabilities differently enough in the society that even though a lot of people don't necessarily think of it as an insult, the way they treat people with disabilities does come through. And they might not realize it, but there's a lot of people who treat people with disabilities badly and in a way that's discriminatory without even realizing
it.
Well,
that all might be true. But when I say, you know, the Superman versus Batman movie was lame, I don't see how that means I'm going to therefore treat someone with a disability badly. Like it's just, there's nowhere in my intent is that it's a completely separate problem.
It's not in your head as an intent, but the fact that that exists as an insult is an actual representation of social values, even that you would have been influenced by, even if you are not thinking of that specific usage.
Well, it's then why does it make a difference? I mean, if it's something that's in society that I will have been influenced by, then at that point, the damage is already done, right?
No, because by being aware of it and by changing your usage, you can change the social perception. You can change the social usage. And by encouraging others to do it, you can help create a society where people are going to stop and think, oh, wait a minute, when I'm calling this lame, am I being ableist? And then you can realize, oh, geez, I'm adding to an ableist culture by equating people lameness with badness. Therefore, even though I would never personally equate lameness with badness, I'm going to stop using that word so that other people aren't influenced into thinking that lameness is badness.
Yeah, I appreciate you stating the case. I'm unconvinced. I'm sorry, but I do really appreciate you trying to change my mind and trying to change listeners' minds. But I'm not going to lie and say I'm going to be able to modify my thinking in that way. I just think it, in terms of a practical issue, I think it would be easier to just realize that this word has taken on a new life. Like it doesn't, you know what I mean? Like it seems like that would be easier than changing millions of people's minds on a word that they don't have an intent on. Because it's like you have to look up the history to even know that for some of these words. Lame is a little easier. But for some of these words that I've heard people saying we should stop using, it's like, geez, you had to be a history major to even know that there was some bad origin for it.
But and it's funny because I thought the same way. And one of the major things for this was, for example, the use of the word stupid. I used to use that word a lot, and I very much agreed with you. But then I started to sort of see other sides of things. Who are more likely to receive that insult? Well, you're more likely to receive that insult if you're somebody who has a cognitive disability, like ADHD, like autism, like dyslexia. You're more likely to be called stupid by teachers or whatnot. So there's that association between stupid equals me. Therefore, I'm stupid. Therefore, I'm all these bad things that everybody who calls other things stupid, that people who call other things stupid are thinking these things of me. Therefore, for example, these people think that because I have ADHD, I'm going to be a Trump supporter, or I'm going to be religious, or I'm going to be easily taken in by scams. But none of that is true. Or, for example, in the terms of the use of the word crazy, well, we have this association that people who are crazy are violent. Therefore, if I let somebody know that I'm crazy, am I more likely to face violence because they're afraid that I'm going to cause violence to them? Words matter.
Yeah, fair enough. I think I'm going to consciously decide to not say another thing because I think we'll just continue around in circles. But I know I do appreciate it. I really appreciate you debating with this because it's. I think that's the only way we're going to solve anything is actually engaging with one another. So from that angle, thank you so much for being willing to talk about it. And you know, I don't mean anything. Any of these words I've used as an insult, I hope you don't take it that way. Like I don't. In no way do I mean to insult anyone with these words I'm using. I just they have a meaning that I don't think is related. So as long as there's no ill will from that, like I don't mean to insult you personally on any of this stuff. Barring that, I really appreciate the debate and I appreciate you trying to make your case.
No problem.
And you probably, we'll see. We'll see what the listeners feel like. Maybe I'll get a bunch of comments that are like, you idiot. Oh, wait, is that one okay? Can I say that?
Actually, that one also has an ableist.
What do you know? See, everything does. See, this is where I'm unconvinced because I think it's easier to just ditch that part of it than it is to get people to change their entire vocabulary.
A big part of changing the language is really about forcing people to examine where that language comes from. It's not so much necessarily that they're using the word that badly, but to if you understand the origins, you can sort of understand how the origins of that influence society. And by forcing people to think about the word, you're forcing them to think about the systemic underlying biases of society.
Fair enough. I'm still going to use the word idiot. Can't help it. Sorry. I don't know. I guess I'm an idiot. I'll apply that to me. And then does that work? So if I'm an idiot, do I get to use it? Is that cool? Is it like taking on the language? No, I'm just teasing. Okay. Thanks so much. We're way out of time, but it was certainly a worthwhile debate.
Talking to you.
You too. Let's remind people so Anya Bhulla, the book, you can find it. I'll put a link certainly to the book on Amazon, Young, Sick, and Invisible, A Skeptic's Journey with Chronic Illness. Thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much.
Well, okay, so as promised, contentious. I also would like to reiterate that was in no way planned. I had no preparation for those arguments. I don't think I was being, terribly precise or compelling necessarily with some of those arguments, but I've been reflecting on this interview and this debate a bit. And I just can't get behind the idea that we need to take away these words from people's vocabulary that are so far away from these origins that, by the way, might not even be as bad as Anya made them out to be. So I've got a lot of thoughts. I don't think this will be the final word. This is one of those times where I really want to find out what you guys think, and then maybe later I can respond to your thoughts and comments to better collect my thoughts. But I do have quite a few thoughts on the issue. So let's talk about the word crazy. So I initially was going one direction with this. I was going to talk about this a certain way. And then I just for fun, I looked up the etymology of the word crazy. And this is so dumb. Another word I can't use. If I look it up on Etymology Online, it says late 14th century, crazen, spelled a different way, to shatter, crush, break to pieces, probably Germanic, and perhaps ultimately from a Scandinavian source such as Old Norse, crassa, shatter. But entering English via an old French crassier, compare modern French écraser. Original sense preserved in crazy quilt pattern and in reference to cracking in pottery glazing, 1815. By 1620s, perhaps comes via transferred sense of be diseased or deformed. So this is so funny because the original meaning behind this word, crazy, or craze, or back in the original origin of it, is being cracked or shattered. And they actually used it to describe glass or pottery being cracked. And then from there, I think it transferred into being diseased and being, you know, crazy like we know it. So I just think it's funny. My point here is not that it'll turn out that all these words are actually fine. That is not at all my point. It just as easily could have been the other way around, that the word originally meant someone who has a mental disability, and then we took it to mean other things. It totally could have just as easily been that way. My point with talking about this is, should it really matter which came first in the late 14th century? Should that etymology really matter? I kind of don't think it should. Now, it'd be one thing if this was more recent. But honestly, if we want to have this debate on the word crazy, the etymology comes from to shatter, crush, to break in pieces, which then that was applied to maybe someone with mental illness, and it's the other way around. So I could make an argument if I want it all. Well, the original meaning of this word is not what you're saying. It was to shatter, crush, and break in pieces. So crazy, that makes sense. It's like shattered or broken or something like that. So I thought that was funny, but that's not even really the crux of my argument, because like I said, could have just as easily gone the other way. I don't know. I wasn't around in the 1400s. Or the 1300s even. I don't know. And that shouldn't affect my intent behind a word, really, I don't think. It should more be what it means to us now. But the real thing I want to say in terms of crazy, Anya said that I shouldn't use it. Crazy means, mentally disabled or whatever. And people use that word to describe people with mental disabilities or conditions negatively. Therefore, I shouldn't use it. Here's what I want to say about that. I have these two. We can all play this game. You know, I do have some issues, certainly. I don't really want to go into it, but I've talked about it a little bit. I see a therapist, you know, I certainly have conditions, and qualities that if someone wanted to insult me, I guess could call me crazy, but that doesn't mean when someone says, oh, that movie was crazy, that I should take offense to that. It's not worth anything. It really isn't. It doesn't help anything. And honestly, as someone who does suffer from a bit of things that could be called crazy, to not go into it, from time to time, some thinking patterns that can be not unhealthy, I'll just say, from someone who suffers from that, I fully accept that the word crazy has a negative meaning. It means, here's the dictionary definition: mentally deranged. This is, of course, definition number one. There's actually another definition: extremely enthusiastic. So I wonder if that's okay. Can I say I'm crazy about someone? Is that okay? Or is that too offensive? This is so unhelpful, I think. But back to what I was saying, I accept, as someone who has seen a therapist and has issues that could be called crazy, I still accept crazy as a bad thing. Crazy, it can be a negative word. That's okay. You know what? I don't want to be mentally deranged, especially as manifested in a wild or aggressive way, as according to the definition. That's what that word means. That's a meaning of the word, as people commonly use it. I don't want to be that. I want to be someone who has perhaps some quirks and some patterns of thinking that aren't altogether good, who's trying to manage it. That's what I want to be. Furthermore, if it did turn out that, I don't know, I snapped or something and was acting mentally deranged in a wild or aggressive way, someone could feel free to use the word crazy to describe my wild or aggressive actions, and that would be an appropriate use of the word. I'm just unconvinced by this argument. I don't get it. There are certain things in life that are negative, and I don't think we can escape them by trying to choose different words and just be super extra oversensitive about these words we're using. It is a negative thing to be mentally deranged in a wild or aggressive way. That's a negative thing. Well, I'm sorry. It just is. I hope to not be that. I try to avoid that. I was about to say God knows, but, you know, we're all atheists around here. But, you know, Spaghetti Monster knows that if I'm not careful, if I don't do my best to manage my conditions that I have, and other people certainly have far worse conditions than I do, then that could happen. The meaning of the word doesn't affect that. It really doesn't. Acting in a, once again, mentally deranged, as manifested in a wild or aggressive way, acting in that way will still be a bad thing. If you have a condition that leads to that, that will still be bad, regardless of what words we use to describe it, or furthermore, what words we use to describe other things that are not even related to you. So that's the part we haven't even got to. When I say that movie is crazy, that doesn't even relate to a person. I also reject the parallel with the word gay. I think that was a lot of her argument. The problem is it doesn't make any sense to say, oh, that is so gay, because there is no other. If you look in the dictionary, which she claimed the definition that would be like bad or something negative would be in the dictionary, and then she backpedaled and said, well, I just mean the urban as the uses. Yeah. Well, that's not in the dictionary. There is no definition that makes any sense besides of or relating to homosexuals. That's the definition number 4, by the way. So, because there's happily excited, keenly alive. But none of those definitions has anything that you could make into being, say negative. So the analogy doesn't work because there's no definition besides the one where I'm just saying in my brain, if I were a person using this word incorrectly, I would say, oh, I hate gay people. Therefore, I'm going to call things I hate gay. That's all that's happening. That's like if someone hated Mexicans and then started calling things they hated Mexican, which, by the way, is something bigoted people do, actually. But there is no alternative definition of Mexican that you would say makes any sense. It only makes sense in the context of being a bigot. That's why it's different from a word like crazy, where it actually makes sense. If you call a movie crazy, it can make sense. If you call something that happened, whoa, that was crazy what just happened. It's not normal. It's unexpected. It's stuff like that. It has a definition that is different from saying, I hate people of a certain type, I'm going to apply this word to them. It's descriptive. The analogy does not work for me. Wow, I'm already running short on time. Let me talk about the word stupid, by the way, because that was one. She said stupid. Don't call people stupid. Say willfully ignorant. And then later on, actually more, so you would have just heard this because this was much later, she said, she listed out. And by the way, Anya, I'm sorry if you're listening and I know I'm talking and you don't get to respond now. So I actually do apologize for that. If you do want to respond to what I've said, feel free to email me. I could read the email or we could even arrange something later on. So sorry for that. But I just have reflected and I've reflected more on this. I want to express my thoughts further. But anyway, she listed like it was kind of ridiculous. It was like a 9-step process. You can go back and even listen to it. It was, well, people who have, and I wrote down part of it. Oh, think of the people who are more likely to be called stupid, she said. She said, if you have dyslexia or ADHD, and then it was like a 9-step process that I'll be honest, does not make sense to me. Like, well, they're likely to be called stupid. And so they associate that word. So then when you call something stupid, they're going to think that's me and you're calling me back. It honestly, that's too much. That's too many weird steps to be reasonable. It really is. And here's the thing. I was thinking about it, and there's not a part of her argument where you couldn't make the same argument for the word ignorant. It's the same thing. If someone has dyslexia or ADHD, and look at this ignorant person. They can't even form an opinion because they can't read on this thing or they can't pay attention. It's the same thing that you're adding willfully. Okay, what about willfully stupid? Would that be okay? Is the willfully the appropriate part? And then if we're really splitting hairs down to that detail where I have to say like, oh man, that movie was stupid. Oh, wait, no, can't say that. Oh, that movie was willfully stupid. I mean, stuff like that just doesn't make sense. A movie can be stupid. A movie can be stupid. What other word? Am I going to be required to describe things in a way, in just the right way, so that someone won't make some weird 9-step association such as Anya described and then take offense to that? I can't buy it. I apologize. I'm really wondering. Maybe I'm going to get an avalanche of comments of, Thomas, you really, you insensitive asshole. But look, I try to be sensitive to most things. I really do. But I think it's important to be reasonable. And when we're talking about words like this, where the actual meaning or whatever the original etymology is so far divorced from how they're actually being used. And you can tell with very high certainty that someone who says this book is lame does not mean to insult someone with a disability. Like you just, she even acknowledged, no, we know that. It's just the environment we want in society create a nice thing. That's too abstract for me. I apologize. I'm very sorry. I don't mean anyone any offense. That's a little too abstract. I think the most frustrating thing about this is that society has progressed to the point, and I certainly would never call somebody who is disabled by one of these insulting terms. Like I would never look at someone who was born with some deformity, which by the way, I have plenty I was born with as well, just to cover that little base, that was born with some deformity and call them lame to describe. I just wouldn't. We've gotten to that point where that doesn't really even apply. But the idea that even though that word doesn't apply to people like that anymore and in our society, in our progressive society, which is good, we don't apply those terms to people. But now to go a step further and say we can't apply terms like that to inanimate things without feelings because people will make some association where they think that's insulting them, that's unreasonable to me. Not reasonable. So we're coming to a close here. I think I pretty much said everything that I wanted to say. I don't want to offend people unnecessarily. I really don't. I know there's. I think there are people who have a very callous attitude. Oh, how dare people be offended? They should just learn to live with it, ignore it. You know, it's just words. I don't really take that attitude. I think we should do our best to not be offensive whenever we can, within reason. Of course, this is something that I think is not a reasonable connection to make. There is a line that we need to draw between reasonable and unreasonable. We'll do our best to find that line. We can't start drawing detailed, abstract connections to words that otherwise should not cause any offense. And, you know, I admit, with some of these words, crazy, lame, dumb, all that, they're not too terribly abstract. I shouldn't say that it's incredibly abstract. It's just when they're actually just describing something sort of almost factually, like if I say that movie was crazy, I'm not It doesn't even mean negative, by the way. There's actually plenty of crazy movies that I like. Inception, that movie was crazy. Can I not? I like Inception. Can I not use that word? I'm being positive. Anyway, I think I've covered it. But I will say that I don't want to cause people offense, you know, and if it's reasonably certain that I'm doing so, I do apologize. So I'm open to the arguments. I really am. I'm certainly I don't mean this to be the last word on this. If I hear a compelling argument in the comments or if Anya emails me something, I don't know. I'm open to more argument on this. I really am. This is a tough one. I can't quite get behind it. So sorry for that. I apologize if that causes anyone offense. I really don't mean it to. I just want to use words like crazy to describe a movie like Inception, if that's okay. If I'm allowed to do so. Thank you. All right. I'll see you guys at, ooh, exciting. I should have Cog Disc coming up soon. Not sure how the scheduling will work out, but in any case, I'm excited for next episode. I will talk to you then.